My guest at this time is Christopher Horner. He's a Washington attorney, best-selling author of many books. The latest is The Liberal War on Transparency, Confessions of a Freedom of Information Criminal. He is also a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington and director of litigation for the America Tradition Institute. As you might well learn from the title of his book, Chris has been frustrated by the lack of transparency by the federal government and in particular by the Obama administration. And Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, for most people, even most conservatives who look at the transparency of this administration, the almost knee-jerk example is the fact that all of the health care negotiations were supposed to be on C-SPAN. And in reality, we got one forum, which was kind of staged on C-SPAN. And in the end, the bill was largely written behind closed doors. Your issues have related more to environmental and energy issues. But it sounds from reading your book that you've really gotten the same type of response from this administration. A lot of promises, but not a lot of response when it comes to trying to shed some light on some of these critical policies.
That's true. We did find some information. For example, when they were saying cap and trade wouldn't cost anything, I extracted a memo from the Treasury Department saying, well, actually, among themselves, they were saying up to $400 billion per year, as much as our corporate income tax, which is the largest and the highest in the developed world. But actually, I was following the, in many cases, sleaze where it led me. So I worked with investigators who revealed certain things to me. For example, in the book, I'm the first to note that this Obamacare negotiation included the deal with the drug companies. That was orchestrated on AOL, not on the White House email system, because that is kept for a legally required record of what an administration is up to under the Presidential Records Act. I revealed that, in fact, Obama's campaign manager, Jim Messina, who at the time was Deputy White House Chief of Staff, moved over to his private email account, which I also show is epidemic throughout the administration, to orchestrate this deal whereby the drug companies agreed to pay $150 million in advertising to support enactment of the bill and lobby for it, and they got a $4 billion sup in the legislation. So I actually, you know, extended it beyond this because I found the same practices were being perpetrated not just in executing the Solyndra program, which I also know was conducted on 14 different private email accounts, even though, like Jim Messina, all of these officials were provided by the taxpayer email accounts for equipment on which they were required to conduct the public business. And they chose on these particular activities that they decided they probably didn't want the public to see or to leave a historical record about, that they should migrate over to private resources. I show they've arranged for privately owned computer servers on which to conduct discussions about controversial UN programs, presumably free from taxpayers' eyes. They're conducting the administration. Most of the things they don't want to go on record, they're conducting on private email, which is against the law. And it's also criminal when you destroy the record. And I've got an affidavit, which I reveal in the book for the first time, from an official in the government acknowledging that they've got essentially a cyber bonfire going on at all times in the administration, destroying records, using non-governmental computers to access governmental servers, which triggers – they've got this system rigged whereby – that destroys all traces of the record on the government system, and because they're using a private computer very deliberately, there's no government computer you can then find the trace of the record on, which, of course, if they did do what they were supposed to do, you would leave these electronic footprints everywhere. It's a very organized, government-wide, systemic effort to avoid leaving any trails that can, forensically or otherwise, be recreated, and the problem is that's against the law.
Chris, you point out early in the book that you've filed Freedom of Information requests from the past three administrations. How different is this one from the previous two?
Well, I've never seen, for example, what, again, it's government-wide. It extends to sympathizers in the career ranks of government, but they have literally moved large portions of government offline. Now, there's no precedent for this. There was that Nixon guy whose secretary leaned over, she said, and erased 18 and a half minutes of tape. I've showed they're actually destroying records. This is utterly unprecedented, so far as we know. Anytime we've had anything close to this, it, of course, has been scandalous. You remember Iran-Contra and so on. This is actually a way of doing business. That is the principal, I suppose, distinction. The second is they really don't. First of all, they anticipatorily declared themselves the most transparent administration ever. when I found some black email accounts, some email accounts set up that the public didn't know about, and even a memo I obtained said nobody in the agency knew about, they declared the public would not be substantially informed about operations or activities of government if they disclosed this information to me. Well, I have to tell you, I've received reluctant responses before, but I've never received so many facially absurd responses indicating that, I mean, they're destroying records, yes, and they're moving things offline, yes, but when they do create a record and you do find a thread to pull, that they'll go to great lengths, not just slow walking it, but great lengths to actually avoid producing. That's the distinction. They truly are the opposite of what they claim to be. That seemed to be a head fake, claiming they'd be the most transparent ever.
And you talk about that in the book as well, charging you exorbitant fees for finding all the information, sending it to the wrong agencies. One especially that I read about with NASA was very interesting. They basically just ignored it until you threatened to sue. So what does the law call for once you file these things?
Well, here's the thing, and this may be the most important thing. I've revealed some scandalous information that's particularly timely given what we found out about the State Department scrubbing its website of admissions about Libya after the fact because they're inconvenient. But I've got a how-to. The last two chapters are how to file, what to say, how to ask, what authorities to cite, how to draft it to avoid the tricks they like to pull, and then how to deal with those tricks even if you do get confronted by them. And I have to say that that may be the most important thing. We're having a discussion now in the Fast and Furious Stonewall and what Univision uncovered, the Libya cover-up. I show it's a way of life for them, but also how to do this yourself, because it's extremely difficult to politicize this, as they've tried to do. I demonstrate. They put political commissars in some certain offices they wanted to really clamp down on information out of, Justice, Department of Energy, and so on. But it's more difficult. When a lot of your listeners get engaged, and again, I offer to help. If you've got something, you let me know. It's far more difficult to politicize this. It's a legal requirement. Like Ronald Reagan said in New Hampshire, I'm paying for this microphone. You paid for these records. You are owed these records with very limited exceptions. I show you how to get them, and I tell you, it's extremely important that you ask.
And, Chris, some people might be wondering how you discover these threads in the first place. So without revealing your trade secrets, how do you get wind of some of these things that obviously the government's going to great pains to make sure nobody finds out about?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I found some of the more remarkable documents by asking for them after reading, plowing through these deathless Government Accountability Office reports, which would make opaque references to some memo or report, and then you ask for that, and it references another memo or report, and you ask for that, and boom, the document that arrives is smoking. They hide the more obvious things, but if you just piece things together, I spoke to a lot of career officers who gave me some tips, indicated what's going on. They said it is government, it is in fact epidemic. They've moved over to private email accounts. Some congressional investigators revealed some things to me that I'm revealing for the first time in the book. You're just going to have to listen to what they say, how they answer questions, how they don't answer questions. And like I said, the first request, it's the known unknowns. You may not know what you don't know sometimes, and you may know. It's the first request often leads you to the second and the third. It's like, I suppose, putting in golf. Putt for the second shot. In this case, your first request might just be aiming at answering some of the unknown unknowns.
Don Rumsfeld will be proud of you for that response. You mentioned before that one of the glaring differences with this administration, as opposed to the other two that you've solicited information from, is that they're apparently fine with destroying a lot of information, which is not legal. What about in terms of the obfuscation, delay tactics? Is that also unique to this administration, or is that just par for the course from an administration that doesn't want a lot to get out there? And, of course, when somebody wants it, they're not all that thrilled about it.
I suppose there's often just a matter of degree. But what we found here is I had career FOIA officers acknowledge to me that they installed political commissars to require a weekly briefing of the FOIA officers, who are career employees, and they're not always predisposed to making your life difficult, but they'd have to brief the general counsel office on what came in, so they would be prepared to how to spin, and then everything going out would have to go through the general counsel's office. Now, this was politicizing a heretofore non-political function, and sometimes they would time the release for when it's helpful. I found them sitting on things until suddenly they needed the release to position themselves a certain way, or they'll just sit on it and hope that you're not persistent, you're not the kind who will appeal, you're not the kind who will sue. So I'm not so sure it's just a matter of degree, not just the techniques of moving government offline. That's unprecedented. But installing political commissars to screen what comes in and what goes out, truly unique and, again, disturbing. And by the way, you mentioned it. It is a violation in some cases of the criminal code to delete these records. And I've found that they actually have organized, they're doing it systemically.
Chris, very quickly, you mentioned that you obviously want more and more people to file Freedom of Information requests. And as we head into the last, 5 weeks before Election Day now here, do you think that this issue of transparency could break through to become a significant issue, or is it just lost among all the discussion of the horse race, the economy, and everything else?
Well, it was dangled out there by the president because of his declaration and then the truth we've discovered being so opposite of the most transparent ever. But he's been promoting it by turning transparency on its head, really giving Mitt Romney an opportunity to raise it. They've decided that they're going to clamp down on public records, meanwhile demanding more and more information from private individuals. If you support a group that opposes Obama, if you support speech they don't like, they demand to know everything about you. Kim Strassel's written 2 columns right on this about how they're trolling for information on private citizens on the basis that, well, you've involved yourself in the political process. The public deserves to know all about you. Well, I point out, in that case, then surely you think it's okay to ask for my ID when I vote. Well, no, this right is so precious we can't do anything to protect it. So the hypocrisy is so strong, and now we have an apparent cover-up with Libya and Fast and Furious. It certainly deserves to be an issue.
Chris, as you pointed out, we're paying for it all, so it certainly would suggest that we deserve access to these things when we request them. We appreciate very much the book and your time with us today. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks.
Christopher Horner, the book is The Liberal War on Transparency, Confessions of a Freedom of Information Criminal. He's also a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute and director of litigation for the America Tradition Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.